Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. Before I get into our topic today, I want to do something a little bit different. I would like to read a review that someone gave the podcast. This is from someone, she calls herself Carolina Girl 78. She gave it a 5-star rating and called it love this podcast. And she says, November 19th, 2023, I lost my 17-year-old son in an automobile accident. I searched for podcasts and books to help me understand all the pain I was feeling. I felt like I was losing my mind. Laura, thank you so much for sharing your journey and helping me understand my journey. I am so sorry that you had a reason to write this review and find us, but thank you for sharing this. When you give the podcast a rating or a review, it helps other bereavers find us. The reason is because the more ratings and reviews that a podcast or anything gets, a book or whatever, then it's called an algorithm. And it causes the algorithm to push it to the top so that other people can find it when they're looking for something like this. So if you have not given this podcast a rating or a review, I would like to encourage you to do that so that it will be pushed to the top when other parents are looking for hope like you're receiving and encouragement like you're receiving. And it will just bring it to the top so that other parents, bereaved parents, can find this as well. So with that, thank you for joining me today as always, and let's go ahead and dig in here. You know, Mary and Martha must have felt so betrayed by God because they sent for Jesus when Lazarus was sick, but their brother died because Jesus purposely stayed put for 3 days before heading to them. Now, both sisters questioned Jesus. If you had come, our brother would not have died. Why didn't you come and heal him? Now, you can find this in John chapter 11. They knew Jesus could have healed their brother because they followed him. They watched Jesus do miracles constantly. He did so many miracles. It says that they couldn't all even be recorded, meaning there are hundreds of miracles that we don't even know about. And so I picture Mary and Martha thinking, it's our turn. We need a miracle now. And this time, it wasn't just some stranger reaching out to Jesus. It was Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who were some of his closest friends. He often stopped at their house for a meal or to stay overnight. But now listen to me here. Jesus knew there was something greater that would happen through the death of Lazarus than through a miraculous healing. Now, let's just stick with me, okay? One evening, quite a while back, I was talking to a group of bereavers online, and I found myself in tears as I had the realization that I'm doing what I do today because Becca did not receive the miraculous healing that she needed for her heart. Now, I don't have to tell you how devastated I was and that place of suffocating darkness that it put me in when she died. I held on to God with everything I had, like Jacob wrestling with the angel, telling him that I was not going to let him go until he miraculously turned this around for me to see some kind of a blessing on the other side of this. Now, that seemed like a crazy thing to fight for because how is it even remotely possible to have a blessing in my life as the result of something so horrific as my daughter's death. And we're all familiar with Romans 8:28. People throw that at us. God works everything out for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? That's a hard verse to accept after the death of our child. But here I am. It's hard to explain how fulfilled and blessed I feel to be a light to literally thousands of grieving parents who find themselves in the same darkness I was once in myself through the ministry of GPS Hope. Now, does it make me glad that Becca died so I can be doing this? I think you know the answer to that. Absolutely not. I would trade it all instantly to have her back with me here on earth, but I can't. Oh, God did not betray me by not healing Becca miraculously, and he did not betray you, no matter how it was that your child left this earth. This might be impossible for you to believe right now, but God has something for you that goes beyond the death of your child, just like Lazarus and Mary and Martha, just like me with Becca, and just like literally thousands of parents ahead of you. Jesus knows that something great can happen through the death of your precious child, through your child leaving, transitioning, graduating, however you want to call it, going from this earth in this realm to the next realm where we can't see them right now. We can't feel them. We can't touch them. We can't talk to them. I know that, but they're still alive, right? We don't understand why Jesus didn't stop this, why God didn't stop it, but we can choose to believe that Jesus knows that something great can happen through the death of your precious child. Then through, instead of a miraculous healing or his hand of protection we so desperately wanted for our children. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, maybe God turned your daughter's death into something good for you, Laura. I'm happy for you, but I don't ever see that happening for me. And that's okay if you can't see it for yourself right now, because me and other parents who've been right where you are, who thought the same thing, will be your eyes to see it and will be your hope to believe it until you have your own hope to believe and your own eyes to see it. You know, in our darkness, we're waiting a long time because God is doing a deep work in each of us. He'll even let us be angry with him, and he will let us believe he has betrayed us as he is at work in our darkness. Just like Lazarus, Jesus knows something great can happen through the death of your precious child, than greater than through a miraculous healing or his hand of protection, like I said, that we so desperately wanted for each of them. And I know that can be so hard to believe, but God is a miracle-working God. And even though we may not have gotten a miracle for our child, God wants to do a miracle for you. He wants to do a miracle in you. Wouldn't it be a miracle for him to bring you out of this dark place? Wouldn't it be a miracle for him to get you to the place where life has meaning and purpose again? You know, God did not kill your child to teach you a lesson. I know some people struggle with that. He just knows that at some point, the eternal fruit of their departure outweighs the eternal fruit of them staying here. I mean, we all wanted our children's lives to bear fruit, right, for the Lord, and fruit that remains. And for whatever reason, God can see what we can't see. He knows what we don't know. And if our desire is for our child to have eternal fruit through their lives, then we have to trust God that that is still going to happen. Now, I know it's frustrating that not all of us are going to get to see what that is while we're here on this earth. I think of Hebrews chapter 11. Dave talks about this a lot, how that second half of the chapter talks about all of those who lived in faith, but they did not get to see the promise that they were believing for while they were still here on this earth. You can be sure that God has an eternal plan that was set in motion by the death of your child before he or she was even a thought to you. While you were a child, before you were even born, God had an eternal plan already set in place for your child and my child. And so I want to encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit to help you believe that the eternal fruit of your child's death is a powerful thing that can eventually outweigh the belief that God betrayed you by not keeping your child here on this earth, even if you don't get to see that fruit until you join your child. Psalm 107 verse 14 says that his light broke through the darkness and he led us out in freedom from death's dark shadow and snapped every one of our chains. That can happen to each one of us if we keep hanging on to God like I did with everything that we've got. Now I want to talk about another view that some of us have, which is that God took my child from me, but that isn't what happened. Now, how can I say this? Because I am discovering more and more just how much God is a giver. In fact, the more I grow in intimacy with him, the more I am convinced that it's impossible for God to take away. Now, I know there's a scripture in Job and there's a song, he gives and takes away. But if you think about it, that is not what God said about himself. That was Job's view of God after all of those horrible things happened, after he lost all 10 of his children, he lost all of his wealth, he had, horrible boils on him. He said, God gives and God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that was what he had to That was his thought, his opinion, his view that he had to have at that time, maybe to get through that. But just because Job said that and it's in the Bible does not mean that that is truth about God. That was Job's view about God in that moment. But God is a giver and God receives. Let's think about this. God does not take from us what has not been surrendered to him. And when we surrender something in our lives to him, he receives it. He doesn't take it from us. Now, if you're like me, I surrendered the life of my children to God. I had them dedicated to him when they were babies. I've claimed that Jesus is Lord over their lives. That means that when my daughter and your child left this earth, God did not take them. He received them into his glorious presence. They received their full redemption. They received a life with no more pain, no more sickness, no more tears. We think God's job is to set up a bunch of rules, and our job is to live by the rule book. But that only breeds frustration, and that can lead to anger and bitterness and resentment. But our job is actually to learn how to live loved, to learn how to grow in relationship and intimacy with the Father, with our Father God, to learn how to surrender the parts of our lives that we're struggling with and give them to him, knowing he will restore our souls. He will bind up our wounds and he will redeem what has been taken from us by the enemy. The enemy takes. God doesn't take. God is a giver. He's a giver of life, not death. He did not take our children. He received them. Our children are more full of life than we are. And someday, he's going to receive us as well to join our children forever. Which brings me to one last thought I want to share with you, that this is not permanent. One thing I wish I had grasped sooner that has helped me is that this is only a temporary separation. Now, I knew that in my head, but for some reason, my heart had a much harder time accepting that as a truth that I could hold on to pull me out of my darkness. all I could see is that my daughter is not with me now, and how unfair and how painful that was to me, to her dad, to her siblings, to her grandparents. All I could think about was what she would miss and what we would miss not having her here with us. In fact, looking back on it, I was pretty much consumed with the thoughts of what I had lost from this earth when she died. There were times I could barely breathe from the pain of it. But God, in His graciousness, stepped in over and over again as I laid my pain at His feet, groaning and sobbing to Him for help. Let me just say something here real quick. Some of you have heard me talk about this, and some of you may not have. But I know I've been saying a lot about how God receives our child. And you may be one that this has been very painful to hear me say that, because you don't know that. Maybe your child died by their own hand, by suicide. Maybe they died by a drug overdose. Maybe it was a car accident, but you know they were not walking with the Lord. And so you have a fear in you that maybe your child isn't there waiting for you. Maybe God did not receive your child. And what I want to share with you right now is that you don't have all the information. You don't know that for sure. You don't know if at some point that you're not aware of, your child received the Lord in a way that allowed them to go to heaven for eternity. We also have no idea. I believe that God's love for each one of us is so deep that as we cross over, He gives us one last chance. In that split second, that moment of death, He reaches out to us with the fullness of that love, because it's like we leave our body, we're now a spirit. And so God can come to us spirit to spirit right then and there, kind of face to face, spirit to spirit, reach out His hands and say, "Will you come with me now? Will you believe in me now? Will you receive me now?" And so I believe that our children had at least one last, that final opportunity where God reached out to them, even in that last moment of death. Now, we know that fear brings torment. I mean, if you are one of those parents that you are not sure, I'm sure that that is something that torments you, that fear that you don't know where your child is for eternity. But you can choose to continue to walk in that tormenting fear, or you can choose to walk in faith that God reached out to your child at some point and your child said yes, and that your child was received by God and is in a place of eternity in God's glory and wonder and awesomeness and love, and that your child is there waiting for you. Now, I can't talk about the separation from our children not being permanent without also bringing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, which says, "We don't focus our attention on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal." Now, I know that's hard to do, because of course we're going to focus on what we can see and touch and hear and smell and taste, right? That's the realm that we live in. But there's a more permanent realm. There's a more real realm. The spirit realm is even more real than what we're living in. The Voice translation says, the end of that verse, it says, "We focus on the things we cannot see, which live on and on." That's where our focus needs to be, not on the here and now, not on the things that we've lost. And when we're in the beginning of this, we can't help it. That's where we are. But we can eventually begin to focus on what we cannot see and what we haven't lost and what we're going to have again. And that's very exciting to me, to think that our children are already in the place where we can't see, where we live on and on. They are living on and on in eternity. They're already in the place where nothing harmful, nothing hurtful can ever touch them again. I want to just read this now from the Message translation. And it says, "So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times, it says, are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There is far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see now will last forever. Once again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is verses 16 through 18. I want to encourage you, open up the Bible, whatever Bible app you use on your phone or your computer. Read that from the Message translation. Take time to absorb this verse one phrase at a time. Let its light soak into your darkness. Maybe even rewrite it, making a personal declaration like, I am not giving up. How could I? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on me, on the inside where God is making new life in me, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Ask God to show you that grace. These hard times will feel small compared to the coming good times and the lavish celebration prepared for me. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things that I see now are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things that I cannot see now will last forever. I mean, that's awesome, isn't it? What we're going through now will seem like nothing once we join our children in heaven and we partake in the glory that they are now part of, that they are partaking of. There really is far more here than meets the eye. I want to close this out with Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And it says, whatever was written beforehand is meant to instruct us in how to live. The scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. If you are listening to this episode when it is released, 5 months from today, you can be with me personally and Dave in a warm, exotic climate on a cruise ship. This will be the third one that Dave and I are part of. It's called the Grief Cruises. It doesn't matter if you have been a bereaved parent, for 1 month or 30 years. There is nothing like it. No cooking, no cleaning. Great sessions, workshops to give you tools and encouragement for this unwanted and unexpected journey, being around people who get it, being around people who want to hear about your child and get to know him or her. No apology needed for any tears shed because of missing your child. Beautiful ports of call to visit, great food, even great entertainment. And occasional laughter together as we're all there with the bond of losing someone from this earth we deeply love. Now, this is happening the end of February, so there's still time to book your cabin and to get it paid off. Now, this is for anyone who has faced a deep loss. So if you know someone, a widow or a widower, someone who's struggling with the loss of a parent, or another someone who's lost a child like yourself, it's for anyone. But we will have special sessions and times with just GPS Hope, just for us as parents who've lost a child. Now, as a bonus, you'll get to celebrate my birthday with me. I can't wait, and I really hope you check it out. Just go to gpshope.org/cruise. On that page, you'll see a place that you can click for more information, and that's going to allow the host of the Grief Cruises, who is our friend Lynn Finley, who lost her infant daughter years ago, to be able to contact you and answer any questions you might have about the cruise. Now, it can't hurt to take a look, right? So go to gpshope.org/cruise, and I really hope that I get to spend time with you and see you there. Let's go ahead with the birthday segment. This covers birthdays from September 16th through September 29th. Justin Seehafer was born on September 16th and is forever 28. Rodney Lorenz was born on September 18th and is forever 49. Rachel Terrazas was born on September 19th and is forever 22. Nicole Zanoni Rimaldo was born on September 21st and is forever 16 months old. Miles Bradley Schaefer was born on September 24th and is forever 44. Valerie Inez Cepeda was born on September 26th and is forever 19. Jacob Rhodes was born on September 28th and is forever 21. Shay Thomas Patno was born on September 29th and is forever 15. Stephanie Weber was born on September 29th and is forever 29. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day for these families. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced, I would love to be able to do that for you. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays and fill out the form there, submit it, and make sure you fill out the pronunciation of your child's name if sometimes it's mispronounced, because I do want to say it correctly for you. Just submit that, and then the podcast episode that would be your child's birthday where it falls into, I will share your child's birthday with the listeners, and Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that podcast episode. I will put a link to that in the show notes, as well as a link to check out the cruise. How does that make you feel to think that God did not take your child, but He received your son or daughter into a place of perfection? Now, I know it does not remove the pain of missing them, but it should help us not be quite so judgmental of the one who loves our child even more than we do. I know that may seem hard to believe, but He does. I want you to pause and thank God for receiving your child into His glorious presence. Even if you don't feel like it, maybe you're still angry at Him. You can be thankful, though, that when it happened, your child was received by God Himself. And while you're at it, ask the Holy Spirit to help you believe that the eternal fruit of your child's death is a powerful thing that can eventually outweigh the belief that God betrayed you by not keeping your child here on earth with you. Even if you don't get to see that fruit until you join him or her. Psalm 116 verse 14 says, "When they arrive at the gates of death, God welcomes those who love him." And so with that, hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.